Welcome to the Michael Rivera What Really Happened radio show.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, hump day, middle of the week here. Going to start that long, slow glide down to Pow Hon Friday. Very rough day on Wall Street. The Dow ended down 514 points, was really starting to fall off the cliff there at the closing bell. Earnings reports are not good. The companies that are issuing these stocks are basically coming out and saying as the economy declines, so do their earnings. And as a result, this is going to pull stock prices down. The bottom line, folks, is we stop making products. We don't have products to sell to other countries. We spend money that we don't really have to buy products from those other countries. Sooner or later, it all had to come apart. I know our current administration is trying to find some kind of miracle cure that'll make it look all right, or at least not as bad, between now and the election, less than 2 weeks away. But the truth is, if they had a way to fix it, they would have done it by now. And I think after the election is over, they're just going to throw up their hands and say, oh, well, that's it. And it's going to get really kind of ugly. So if I were you, I'd get your Christmas shopping or your holiday shopping done now and get it over with. Speaking of holiday shopping, a lot of people wanting to buy gold and silver as a hedge against the inevitable inflation that is going to have to result when these billions and billions, indeed trillions, of bailout dollars start working their way out of the banks that have them now and start pouring back into the economy. It's just going to get really out of control. Very interesting thing here. I know Ted Anderson, who owns and runs Genesis Communication Network. He has a gold brokerage, so if you're going to buy gold, go to him, go to Ted. But we're hearing reports right now that the spot prices on gold and silver are low, and yet some dealers and suppliers are reporting they're running out of inventory. Now, call me silly, but when I was going to college and taking basic economics, there's this little thing called supply and demand. If something was in short supply and there was a high demand, prices were going to go up. But yet we're seeing the gold and silver prices are kind of low, which is a good opportunity. You know, go out and, you know, buy some more, you know, stash them in your little hidden cookie jar or whatever. Don't put it in your safety deposit box, because in the event of a crisis, the bank and the government can go into your safety deposit box and basically liberate or nationalize anything they find there. Nationalize. It's a very fancy word meaning we're going to steal it, the way FDR nationalized gold back in the 1930s. So could very well happen again. So anything that you have of wealth, gold, gold jewelry, silver, whatever, you probably want to keep it a little bit closer to home. And not surprising, right now, one of the few areas of American manufacturing that is enjoying a boom time are the manufacturers of home safes. And they're doing quite well right now. So I think more and more Americans are saying, okay, I want to keep my goodies a little bit closer to home. Now, inevitably, as the economy continues to deteriorate, we're starting to see credit cards basically are starting to head into delinquency issues the way the mortgages did. And it just basically gets back down to the fact jobs are going away. You heard it on this last news break. Yahoo's letting go part of their force. Merck Pharmaceuticals is letting go part of their force. Stores are closing in these large franchise operations. The jobs are going away. People don't have a way to make the payments on their credit card payments or their mortgages. And it's a self-feeding frenzy. And what really is making this whole thing kind of sick, okay, we don't really have a credit crisis. There's a lot of credit out there. I'm still getting these little solicitations in the mail every day. Yes, we will give you a credit card and 0% APR for the first 6 months, and then we will gouge you, and you will love it because you're a patriotic American. We have a repayment crisis. And the United States government could end the economic problem in a split second by cutting taxes 50% across the board. Yes, we would have to sacrifice. We would have to do without certain things like killing Iraqis. But a massive tax cut would revive the economy instantly. We, the people, would have money to make our mortgage payments. That would make the mortgage crisis go away. We would have money to make our make our credit card payments. The credit card delinquency problem would go away. Our government likes to go on and on about all the things it wants to do to make life better for we, the people, and the voters, and the working class. The one thing they really could do that would make a difference, cut taxes in half. They're not going to do it. What do? They take more of our money, $700 billion, and they give it to the banks to loan back to us at interest. This is their idea of a solution to the problem. And obviously, as we can tell from the Dow, it isn't working. And we, the people, tried to tell Congress it wasn't going to work. They were getting phone calls 9-1 against that bailout. And still they pushed it through with this attitude of, we know better. We know better than you, the American people who actually make the money, what will happen if we don't take that money from you and give it to the banks. Well, they had their shot, and it isn't working. The stock market is still declining, still heading down. Americans are sinking deeper and deeper into trouble. It didn't work. And you know something? I want to talk here a little bit about this, you know, the government and the taxes here. Because for most Americans, the most expensive thing you will ever buy in your life is the government. You are forced to buy it. You are forced to accept their services, and you are forced to pay for them. And frankly, as a consumer, I don't think it's worth the money. They're not managing our nation very well. They're certainly not protecting our Bill of Rights and our Constitution and our national sovereignty. They are, you know, in fact, they're rather incompetent. And I think we should fire them and demand our money back. Because I think we, the people, know better how to manage our finances than the government. Because we would do it, we would be doing just fine if the government hadn't helped corporations ship high-paying jobs to another country and then started taking more of our money and giving it to the banks and having the Federal Reserve print up even more money to give to the banks, which is going to increase inflation for us. It's kind of a hidden tax. That's what inflation is. It's like the government comes into your house in the middle of the night and they just take a percentage of your money, because that's what inflation does. It robs you of buying power. When I was a kid, we used to see soda machines that would put out a bottle of Coca-Cola for like a nickel. Now it's over a dollar. That is the robbery that the government has been doing to you through inflation. So I think it's time to fund, because we know the one thing the government could do that would really improve the economy is just cut taxes 50% right across the board right now. Cut the withholding in half. Let us keep more of our money. We would start making payments on our mortgages and our credit cards, and the economy would immediately rebound because we would have money to start new businesses. Which brings me to the next story. Apparently, in the middle of all these billions and trillions of dollars going to the big Wall Street firms, President Bush is dismantling all of the economic programs for small business. Now, this is just insane, criminally so. Because small businesses, and I'm a small business owner, small businesses employ more than half of the nation's population. Small businesses are responsible for like 90% of all new job creation. Small businesses are responsible for 90% of what remains of U.S. exports. And small businesses are where the innovation and creativity and development is taking place. And when they passed the Small Business Act in 1953, it was a recognition that small business is really where our future economic growth comes from. And President Bush, as a parting gift to the American economy, after giving tax breaks to big corporations to send our jobs overseas, now he's trashing what little support there was for small businesses. And this is Bush's revenge. Absolutely. It's the worst thing he could do. At a time when our nation needs small businesses to be generating new jobs, he cuts the legs out right from under them. We're at the end of our first segment. I know we've got a caller waiting on the line, and we're going to go through our little commercial break here. When we get back, we'll take the phone call. In the meantime, if you call in, Donovan's picking up the phone, so say hello, and Donovan's twiddling the dials and taking care of our radio broadcast stuff. So we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And we have callers on the line right now. We're going to go to Aaron in Manitoba. Aloha, Aaron. What's on your mind today?
Yes,
is
hello.
Aaron there? Hello.
Yes, hello. You can
hello.
Hear me?
Hello. I can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay. My family is in danger right now. There are ongoing attempts towards our kidnapping or murder. This is a consequence of the Homeland Security effect. I want to talk about McCain because the correlation, as we just recently discovered, is direct. We were profiled and attacked on a Northwest Airlines flight January 18th of 2006. And they are placed through interrogation, no Miranda rights. My mother and I profiled and attacked where they tried to link us to Al-Qaeda, radical jihad, and whatnot, and then put through a trial with covert agents on the jury pool. And now, because we're talking about it, there's a site we have up now, McCainAttacks.blogspot.com. We used to have a website called AaronJamesStory.com. The government removed it on October 6th of this month. Because we went online and we started discussing these things, it's been 3 years ongoing. There have been repeated attempts using local law enforcement here in cross-border collusion without warrant or charges. The Winnipeg Police, the Winnipeg Police Chief is an FBI asset, is a graduate of the Northwest Chapter of Bureau of Associates.
I'm going to interrupt you here just a little bit, and I'm going to ask you to repeat that website one more time.
McCainAttacks.blogspot.com is the current site, which is spelling M-C-C-A-I-N, McCain, attacks,
okay.
Plural, A-T-T-A-C-K-S,
all right.
.blogspot.com. Now, I've been on a number of stations, We the People Radio Network, which is no longer available, Republic, Genesis, spoken with Alex Jones, Tim, Wayne Madsen Report, and
okay,
other
can
media.
I ask you a question? Aaron,
yes.
Can I ask you a question? Okay, what was the original reason you're saying you're basically you were profiled and then arrested on an airline flight?
My mother was accused of harboring a suspicious bag on board an aircraft after we'd already passed through security without issue as a contentious retaliation for having voiced a written complaint as Canadian passengers coming from Winnipeg to the Mayo Clinic, whereupon our baggage did not arrive off the carousel because it had been retained up by Homeland Security. The airline claimed they had misplaced it. We discovered thereafter that the airline is an FBI affiliate. Your 72-hour wait that you have there, the death of the nephew of the Ombudsman of New York, 45-year-old woman murdered, the death of Robert Dzanski from New York. This is all Homeland Security.
I know. Earlier this year, we had literally a small baby traveling from American Samoa to Honolulu for emergency medical treatment, died in the holding area at the Honolulu airport. So, yeah, I know this stuff is kind of going
so
on.
So without going into detail I'm going to say this. We both know that every political campaign has its monetary interests and its hands in whoever's pocket, or vice versa. We know about McCain with the Keating Five scandal, Freddie Mac's Haven investment loan, the oil companies, et cetera, et cetera. His investments, his monetary investments and corporate interests are also primarily within Northwest Airlines as far as airlines are concerned. The fact that we just discovered 72 hours prior, it answers a lot of unanswered questions as to why they're in black ops operation, Blackwater effect.
Okay, well let me interrupt here for a second. Okay, first of all, we're going to have to let you go. We've got another caller on the line. We've got to give him his turn. But you know, this link to McCain, and believe me, I'm no friend of John McCain, but it seems a little tenuous just because he owns stock in the airline. I don't think that that's really a solid connection there. I understand you've been harassed by Homeland Security, and a lot of people have, and TSA are pains in the butt. And it sounds like you've got a real issue here. But the link to McCain, I'm not seeing that it's really being made just because he owns stock in the airline. You know, I'm having a hard time with that. Anyway, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to look at your website and check it out and, possibly link it to whatreallyhappened.com and drive some traffic your way. But we're going to have to let you go here right now, and we're going to switch over to John in Ontario. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show.
Why do you hate Jews?
Okay, I think we're... My goodness, the seminar callers are busy today. All right, moving right along to the news here, and I don't even know what prompted that particular outburst on the individual, but getting back to the budget here, we had this situation where President Bush has just cut the support out from under small businesses here in the United States of America. At the same time, he has signed a record-setting defense budget. Now, the problem with that, of course, is we're stuck in two wars that have been burning up material and, unfortunately, human lives. We're losing both of them. There's really no reason to continue them or perpetuate them because we're not getting the oil. We're not getting, you know, we're not accomplishing the political aims declared in the wars. And yet, obviously, President Bush is setting the stage for his successor, whoever it is, to have an unprecedented amount of military force at their disposal. And frankly, I think Americans should be asking why. At the moment, because our economy cannot sustain this kind of military adventurism, we are seeing, you know, the rush to war in Iran seems to have been halted. And one has to wonder, what is President Bush thinking? Is he thinking that somehow, you know, that he's going to set the stage where war will be inevitable for his successor, and he's just going to make sure, or is it just more payoff to Halliburton and all of his military-industrial complex buddies just so that they can get really, really rich before a new budget is passed that really starts cutting back on defense spending? But I'll tell you right now, if we wanted to cut taxes across the board by 50%, just shutting down the war machine would do it. We wouldn't have to give up any medical care. We wouldn't have to give up any education. We wouldn't have to give up any infrastructure. We would just have to, you know, stop killing people around the world and wasting these hideous amounts of money on bombs and bullets and stuff. Anyway, to sort of finish up on this, and then we're going to talk about politics for the rest of the show, they're trying to basically turn the campaign into taxes on the rich. Do we want to keep the tax breaks for the rich? Or do we want to tax the rich and redistribute the wealth like those nasty old commies and socialists used to do? Well, here's the bottom line. It's a trick to get you to argue over whether we should tax the rich or tax the poor. Everybody is taxed too much. Whether you're rich or poor, everybody is paying too much in taxes, and that is what you should be focusing on, is cutting taxes for everybody. Tax breaks for everybody. Stop arguing over who's paying more and who's paying less. That is a trick to get you to not look at the real issue, which is everybody pays too much. Government's the most expensive thing you're ever going to buy, and it's a lemon. It is a lemon government. It is not worth the money you pay for it. And it doesn't matter if the person next to you is paying more or less, they're paying too much, and you're paying too much, and that is your common ground. That is the one thing the rich and the poor in this country can agree on. Government is too expensive, period. End of discussion. So that's what we got to be looking at. Real quick, we're almost out of time on this segment. As you were probably seeing earlier, there was this incident at the Western Kentucky University. There's a shooting scare. It appears to be nothing. May have been a fight of some kind. Meanwhile, we got bomb threats in the Senate, envelopes with powder showing up at banks. Maybe somebody's hyping the fear factor. Maybe they're trying to crank up that terrorism booga booga ahead of some new false flag. Anyway, we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Fear and hate will rule them, said the demon to his role. In shackles we will bind them, to the terror they'll be shown. As mindless slaves they will not think, blind eyes they will not see. They'll jail themselves and call the bars Homeland Security.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We've got another caller on the line. This must be our day to be popular, or actually unpopular, up in Canada, because it's our third caller from Canada. We've got John in Winnipeg. Aloha, John. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, how are you? Not too much. Well, a lot. Your show, actually. I was listening to the previous caller, and it made me compel myself to pick up the phone and give you a call. I should actually call more often. But anyway, you know, there's different
ways. Yes, you should.
Yeah, there's different ways of looking at the world, and sometimes, you know, we're fearful of what we don't understand. Banking, for example, the banker doesn't cover the initial loan, so how do we owe them anything? But that's a longer subject. But it's just another way, an example of saying you can look at things in a different way and get to the crux of what the situation is really all about. And when we talk about Jews, it's in the Jewish people's interest, if they're religious, to defend an innocent other, because that person is just as soon your brother, or your neighbor being your brother, or it can just as soon be yourself. You know, if everybody defends the innocent, we're all going to be saved. But in Israel, as Frontline reported, they did a whole, I think it was a two-hour or an hour at least, a documentary on how the Israeli government will go into a Christian's home at gunpoint and order you out of your home that you have a deed to. And you cannot take the food out of your fridge or the toys under your Christmas tree, and they ordered you to go live in a concentration camp where you're deprived food, you know, clean water, medicine, all kinds of horrible things happen to you. And if you stop that Israeli and ask him, what's this guy's crime that you're depriving him his homestead? And the Israeli will tell you he's not guilty of anything. He's an innocent man, but he's not Jewish. I know religious isn't really talking about religion isn't a big thing on your show, but...
Yeah, this is political. This is political. Right. This isn't really religious. Religion is used as the excuse, which is hardly confined to the Jewish religion. You know, all governments and all religions use God as the excuse. But it's a political thing, and one of the points that we do try and make on the show here is that the vast majority of Jewish people don't agree with what the government of Israel is doing, just as most Americans don't agree with what our government is doing in places like Abu Ghraib, and most Muslims don't even agree with what Al-Qaeda is doing, whoever they turn out to finally be. This is really politics, and it really is the crimes of a few individuals who then like to hide their crimes behind claims that they're trying to work for the common good of a particular population. Israel loves to obscure their politics behind this claim that they're working for for the betterment or the protection of the Jewish people of the world. And unfortunately, what they're really doing is making the world more dangerous for Jewish people.
Right. Well, every religious person, no matter what affiliation they prescribe or subscribe themselves to, will tell you that God is just. So if you're going to lay claim to fighting for God's will in Israel, you're not going to deprive an innocent person their property. You're not going to steal it from themselves, because you would be doing an ungodly act, because God is of all people. You're victimizing God. What's this person's crime? No crime. We're just taking his house. And they do horrible things almost on a daily basis. You know better than I do. I mean, every day there's another crime against God and man. And it's a crime against atheists, too, because this stuff can be reasoned out. What's a just act, you know, and what's unjust? You know,
the real crime here is that we're all the children of Abraham. I mean, all three of these religions, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, all share a common root. I mean, you know, Israel and Ishmael were brothers. And even today, most educated Jews refer to the Arabs as our cousins, because they are. There is a blood relationship there. And, you know, but you get these opportunists, political opportunists, who will exploit religious writings to justify personal greed and conquest. And, John, I'm sorry, we've got to let you go. We've got another caller coming on the line here. It's a very busy day. But thank you very much for your insights. I admire your opinion. And you have a very good, mature view of, we're all brothers. We shouldn't be inflicting injustice on each other in the name of any god. Okay. So thanks a lot. And we're going to switch to Sean in Austin, Texas. Aloha, Sean. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. I was wanting to make a comment about economics. May or may not have mentioned this already on the air. I don't have a chance to listen to your show all the time. But a Reuters article led me to some further research about a week ago. And in short, just since July of this year, the Fed has loaned more than $8 trillion to its various banks. That doesn't even speak to the so-called rescue bill that was passed. So I don't know exactly what kind of difference that makes in our money supply. I've got a feeling that it increases it significantly. But
it does. And once that money moves out of the banks and into general circulation, then you're going to see tremendous inflationary pressure on prices. Prices are going to go right through the roof. At the moment, the banks are hanging on to that cash and keeping it out of circulation because they're holding it in reserve to cover their obligations as the derivatives mess unwinds. But inevitably, as that money goes back into general circulation, we're going to see inflation go right through the roof. They're holding off doing it until after the election, though.
Gotcha. Okay, sir. Well, I just wanted to just throw that in there.
All right. Well, thanks an awful lot, and have a good day, and call in again. Okay, moving right along. This is a story which is not getting a lot of coverage, and it really ought to because for all the McCain campaigns complaining and whining about Acorn and various other groups, it has just come out that the John McCain campaign has paid $175,000 to a Republican operative that has been under investigation many times for massive voter registration fraud in several states. And apparently this company, Lincoln Strategies, and it's run by a gentleman by the name of Nathan Sproul, who's been investigated many times for fraud. And they are basically, they were engaging in preventing Democrats from voting, destroying Democratic registration forms, and just all kinds of these dirty tricks. And it seems like McCain's campaign is engaging in what psychiatrists would call projection. They're committing a sin or a transgression, and their way of dealing with it is to accuse the other person. And to bring it down to the individual level, and we've all seen this, you've got somebody who's cheating around on their spouse, and the first thing they do is they accuse the other person of being the one who's playing around to assuage their own guilt, to say, well, if they're doing it, it makes it okay for me to be doing it, and these various other kind of mental games. But, you know, here we have an actual documented case of the McCain campaign hiring and paying for a known voter registration fraud artist. We've only got 2 weeks left to go to the election, and this election is setting records for dirt, for mud. Now we've got the National Enquirer running a story saying that Barack Obama's mentor is a sex pervert. And, you know, you almost reach the point where you have to laugh at the absurdity of it all and wonder, do these people who are running these campaigns and playing these Rovian tactics, do they really understand what it looks like to those of us out here who are pulled back from the campaigns and we're watching from a distance and we've maintained our objectivity, just how absurd it looks to us? They're not getting it. They're absolutely not getting it. And I think it was Alternate ran a story earlier today pointing out that these Karl Rove tactics that worked very well in 2000, to a lesser extent 2004, because of the blogosphere, because of alternative media, because of companies like Genesis Communication and WhatReallyHappened.com, plug, 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 and Alex Jones, people are seeing through this stuff. And the poll numbers show it. Obama is ahead in all the key four battleground states. He is double-digit ahead in all the polls, except for Associated Press, which somehow magically says they're still tied. Okay? But the poll numbers reveal what McCain's campaign is doing doesn't work anymore, and they don't have a clue. They don't know what to do now. We're going to be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of today's show here. And getting back to the world of politics and the campaign, rather interesting story came along today. Police prepare for unrest, and the subheadline was, police departments in cities across the country are beefing up their ranks for Election Day, preparing for possible civil unrest and riots after the historic presidential contest. And when you read further into this article, what they're saying is, because Barack Obama is ahead in so many polls, that if for some reason John McCain should win, they are expecting there to be riots in many parts of the country as well. There should be. And the fact that they are seeing this as a real possibility suggests that I am not the only one who is looking at all the vote fraud going on and thinking that even 10 points behind Obama, that McCain is getting ready to try and steal the election. They're going after the electoral votes. If that doesn't work, the lawyers are already lined up in all the battleground states to say these votes should be counted and these votes should be ignored. It's going to be a repeat of what we saw in 2000. It's going to be that ugly and contentious, and they're already getting ready. If the American people decide they want to get involved in the discussion by throwing the bums out and saying, look, you know, we're going to pick our own presidents and not the court and not the vote machine companies. We're going to choose. And the police are going to be ready to club you on the head and say, look, you go back and you pay your taxes like a good little American drone, and we'll decide who your leader is going to be. And it does look like they're getting ready to do that. I mean, a lot of people are very concerned about all these military people pulling together in the Adirondacks and getting ready for some kind of a big operation. Nobody knows what that is. Now, as I mentioned in the last segment, all of the major polls right now have got Barack Obama leading. He's leading in the top four key battleground states. His lead is anywhere from 7 percentage points to 14 percentage points, depending upon on which poll you're looking at. Associated Press somehow is still reporting that Obama and McCain are tied. They're neck and neck. Contest could go either way. And AP is wondering why more and more newspapers are beginning to cancel their service with them. Meanwhile, let's see. We had McCain showed up in one of his little gatherings in Philadelphia, and fewer than 500 people showed up. This despite the fact that this campaign rally was advertised on TV and in the newspapers and the local radio. They tried to drum up a huge crowd. 500 people showed up. The other day when he made a stop at an airport, 15 people showed up. Meanwhile, of course, Obama's rallies in Missouri are pulling 75,000, 100,000 people. The early voting numbers, and yes, it's biased toward the Democrats because they're getting out there to make sure they can vote and that they haven't been subject to disenfranchisement, but it's basically running 2-1 Obama right now. That will tighten up a little bit, of course, on Election Day, and the fact that the Democrats are coming out early is going to also skew our exit polls. And the problem with that is there's going to be a lot of gray area and wiggle room in which these games to be played. I mean, we're already hearing, you know, two different counties in West Virginia, the touchscreen machines are switching Obama votes to McCain. We're getting the same report out of Texas. They don't even care if we see it anymore or not. They're just going to go through the motions and declare a president and say, if you don't like it, we've got the police ready here to whoop on you. So that's kind of where we're at. Now, little story here. Sarah Palin, Caribou Barbie, the Empress Mussolini, whatever you want to call her, is trying to sell herself as real America. The Walmart mom, you know, I got a family, got kids. I'm just an ordinary, you know, American mother who happens to be governor of a state and running for vice president. But apparently the Republican National Committee spent roughly $150,000 to buy new clothing and accessories and hairstyle and whatever for Sarah Palin. And the problem with that is that it is illegal to use campaign funds for what can be construed as personal needs, which is clothing, makeup, accessories. And even worse, because of that law, this $150,000 may in fact represent taxable income for the Palin family. So they're getting a little bit reckless, and they're really not thinking very clearly. And I guess the theory is if they win or steal it, then nobody's going to bother harassing the vice president over campaign law violations and a tax obligation, that somehow it will all go away. Now, the interesting thing is that John McCain himself, back in 1993, was arguing for tighter restrictions on the use of campaign money for personal needs. So this is another case of where he's going to say one thing and then do another, because, you know, that's what they've got. You know, that's, they need it now. It's okay for them to do it. It was bad when other people did it to them. You know, now they're going to do it, you know, when they need it. Okay, little story here. And I'm carrying this because of that earlier phone call that we all laughed at and everything. Do you remember this ship that was hijacked by Somali pirates? And a lot of mystery about it, and it was, we were told basically it was a Ukrainian ship. It turns out that was not entirely accurate. The BBC has just broken the story that the ship actually belongs to a Jewish investor living in Israel, and that the story that it was a Ukrainian ship was just a cover. There is some concern that this Sudan ship, you know, was smuggling weapons into one of the hotspots in Africa, and that's now where the story sits. Speaking of the BBC, who we are not always fond of, apparently the BBC, annoyed with the absolute lack of attention that the 9/11 truth movement has been paying to their various shows about 9/11, is getting ready to launch a third program attempting to dismiss, ridicule, and criticize those who refuse to believe the official story of 9/11. And they're going back out there with facts which have already been discredited. And I guess their corporate attitude is, if at first you don't succeed, lie again. Because they're coming back for a third try with information that we already know is completely false. And as that show goes on the air, I'm going to continue posting at my website that wonderful little video of the BBC reporting on the collapse of World Trade Center 7 26 minutes before it actually happened. Now, the BBC insists that it cannot find the original source video for any kind of confirmation or comparison. They're saying, well, at the end of the day, the video was just tossed out. I don't think so. I work in television. When you have raw source video of the biggest news story of the century, you keep every bit of it, because somewhere down the line, somebody's probably going to pay to license it for a documentary or other such show. You don't just throw these raw tapes away. If that tape was lost, it was done intentionally, because they don't want confirmation about the 26-minute psychic episode where they reported on the collapse of World Trade Center 7 with the building still standing in the video field behind them. So the BBC is definitely part of the problem when it comes to lies and cover-ups and deceptions, and we're going to rub their nose in it as they go to air with this latest effort to denigrate the 9/11 truth movement. Now, earlier I mentioned this supposed shooting incident on Western Kentucky University. There were bomb threats phoned into the U.S. Senate, which didn't really get much of a response. Now we're getting a report that some 30 letters containing a harmless but obviously alarming powder have been mailed to Chase Banks in 8 cities. And it seems to me that we're looking, it could just be random jerkiness, you know, people who've got too much time on their hand and just figure, oh, I'll go out and fake a terror attack. It could also be a program of getting everybody just hair trigger ready for a new terror attack. So keep an eye out for these little stories about the little booga boogas that are happening. Because right now, McCain and Bush and the GOP are praying for the dead guy, Osama bin Laden, and the toilet, Al-Qaeda, to do something really big to make McCain look more attractive to the voters. That's the end of our show today. We're going to be back tomorrow night. More news, more phone calls, hopefully less abusive. And until then, stay safe, Be well, hug your loved ones, drive carefully, and aloha, America.